Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. That was by far the best. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful day of firsts. We got to see it. You know, today's scripture is pretty tough. And it's really easy to misinterpret if it's lifted out of its context. So we have to keep it in its context, and that's Luke's gospel. So there are three things that are probably jumping out at us, to us from today's reading: fire, God's kingdom, division. So in order to understand this fire, God's kingdom, and division, we need to take a look at what came before. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at chapter three of Luke's gospel, because we're going to look at fire. What is it that is said here? Jesus is being baptized, and John says to those who are standing near, this is John the Baptist, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. Now, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we may think of Pentecost and, right, the tongues of fire. So, fire. Jesus will come and bring, baptize us, Holy Spirit and fire. And then the next comes even before that, which is from the prophet Malachi, who's predicting, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me, and then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. And the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. Purifier. What does purification look like? Has anybody ever actually done that with ore before to purify? I looked at the whole process, and it's extremely complex when you look at it. And this is the ancient days of how they would use the fire to melt the ore, to get rid of all of the impurities, so that only the purest of the metal remained, the gold or the silver. But in all honesty, I can't relate to that. This is what I can relate to. Laundry detergent. And that's what was also in there. So fire, it's that purification. So I'm going to go to the laundry detergent because that's what I can really identify with, probably more than the fire, the purifying fire. And my particular brand is All. Why? Because my mother used it. I mean, it's so funny how you use the things that your parents have used until you finally say, well, why am I using that? But this is the product that I happen to like. So when Jesus is talking about fire or the laundry soap, what that represents for Jesus is change. The fire of change. The fire of God's active presence in the world. The kingdom of God breaking forth. Soap. Cleansing. Anybody here like to do laundry? I love to do laundry. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I love to. As a matter of fact, Carl does everything. When I tell you, the man does everything. He cleans the house, he cooks, he does. But the one thing I wanted to hold on to was the laundry. And he said, no,
I'm doing the laundry now also because I love doing it. There's something about when everything comes out clean, right? All the detergent that I happen to use, all, it gets rid of all the dirt, all the grime, all the germs, all the grease. Where'd it go? Stuck in my hair? I'll just put this down here. All the impurities, all the contaminants, so that our clothes are pure, they're clean, they're life-giving, they're fresh, and they're new. There's something wonderful about that, isn't there? So when Jesus talks about fire, burning, cleansing, that's what he's talking about. That feeling of pureness, that feeling of clean, that life-giving, flourishing feeling. So, if Jesus is saying, I want to bring fire, what is it? What has to change? What is it that has to burn? What is it that has to be removed? What are the things that are not life-giving? What are the things that prevent all of creation, all people from flourishing? What has to go? Well, we heard what has to go in the past few weeks, haven't we? We heard oppression has to go. We heard greed has to go. We heard self-centeredness or narcissism has to go. Remember, that was that whole enough is enough. Idolatry has to go. Dehumanization must be burned and removed. There is so much more that we could name here. What needs to burn? What needs to be washed away? What stains of sin are we missing? What are the actions, the thoughts, the behaviors, and the words that prevent the thriving of all? This is what Jesus' strongest desire is, right from the start. God's kingdom coming here and now. Well, what does God's kingdom look like? Well, Jesus proclaims it, but we're going to start first with Mary. In Luke chapter 1 that we heard way back in December, when the angel Gabriel came and pronounced that she was going to be with child, and she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant at a very old age, with John, who is John the Baptist. Mary sings a song of praise, and it begins like this: My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Now we get into the kingdom part. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. The kingdom of God, named right here, doesn't sound like any of those things that are up there. And then Jesus, I don't know if you remember this, but it was on the scripture on the day that I was installed here, back in January, that long-awaited installation. When Jesus had come out of the wilderness after being tempted, and Jesus went back to his hometown, went into the synagogue, as was his custom to do. They asked him to get up and do the reading. He opens up the scroll for the reading for that particular day, and it was from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Do you remember this? And I said, this was the shortest sermon in history. Jesus rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, sat down and said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The kingdom of God, present among them. Does it look anything like what's up here? The things that we know has to go? No, it doesn't. But what we also heard is there will be resistance between God's kingdom and this world's kingdom. And this too was foretold at the presentation at the temple. When Jesus was eight days old, he went to the temple for the ceremony of the presentation. And I don't know if you remember this scripture, but it was back in chapter 2, and it was Simeon who was there, and he received Jesus. And as he took Jesus into his arms, he praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your words, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And then Simeon turns to Mary, Jesus' mother, and says, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." And here speaks of the opposition and the division which Jesus, God's kingdom, wreaks upon this world. And so Jesus is telling, yet again, he's recapping everything that had already been said. There will be opposition, resistance to this change. And there was a great division in Jesus' day. As he was telling this to the disciples, they knew what it felt like back then in that first century to be thrown out of the synagogue because they were following Jesus. Where family was split against family, father against son, mother against daughter. Notice that it says mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Why isn't there father-in-law against son-in-law in there? Yeah, because there was great division at that time. Following Jesus and Jesus' desire to bring God's kingdom is what caused the divisions. And you know, we have to admit it today, it still causes divisions today. We have work to do. Each and every one of us. And it involves fire. I prefer to use laundry soap. But it starts with examining, with seeing, and finding. Examining, discovering, seeing impurities, contaminants, germs, sin is the work of what we're about as Christians. And the place that we start to do this examining, this looking, this seeking, this discovering is not with the other, it is with us. We have to start the examination, the finding, the seeing, the impurities, the things that are not life-giving at all, those contaminants that are sticking to ourselves. And it's not easy at times, is it? We took one of Carl's old shirts. Now, there are a few stains on here. Can you see them? Yeah, they're pretty obvious, aren't they? Very easy. And if Carl were to look at this, and this were one of his favorite comfy shirts, I don't know, gentlemen seem to have house clothes. House clothes, clothes they wear in the house. He also had sick clothes, clothes that he would wear when he was sick. The sick clothes went out into the garbage. It was like, we're not having sick clothes. If you're sick, tell me you're sick. But we have house clothes, right? House clothes tend to be the comfortable, the kind of beat up. You're like, I'm not going to wear this outside, right? I never learned about house clothes until I got married. So this might be something that you would wear in the house, and you might look at it and say, it's okay. You might wear it outside too, but really when you look at it, others can clearly see the stains that are on here, the stains that we caused. This shirt was handed to my husband. Did I buy this one for you? Okay, he shakes his head. But it was handed to him nice and clean.
And you can see the stains that have come on here. And he has to look and say, well, what is that stain? Is that the stain of my actions that have caused oppression? Is this my self-centeredness over here? And so it's easy, isn't it, to examine the big stains. But if you look closer at this, right there is a stain that you can't see unless you really examine it closely. You may not see it at all. It came out of the wash. I totally missed it. I didn't even know it was there to begin with. But it was a stain that was on here, and that remained. These are the more difficult ones. These are the ones where we may say, you know, okay, so I was a little greedy. Okay. So I was a little self-centered there. No. Jesus says, we got to work on this. We have to work on this. Now, I'm going to say, what if this shirt is the norm? What if this shirt has been handed down year after year after year with these stains on it? But you know what? They're not stains to you. This is normal. That's the hardest work that we have to do, is to take a look at ourselves and the things that have been handed down years and years and years that are not life-giving, but we never realized it before. That's the hard part. When this looks like the norm, and Jesus says, no, that's not the norm. That's the most difficult work that we can do for ourselves to help bring God's kingdom about. The most difficult work.
It's time for these things to go. It's easy to spot the big ones. It's hard to spot the small ones. And it's even that much more difficult to recognize that that was a stain to begin with at all. It's not an easy examination. But we need to do it. We need to examine it. We need to find it. We need to sort it out. And we need to make sure it's removed. And when it comes back, we need to see that it's back, and we need to remove it again and again and again. All of the things, the beliefs, the ideas, the behaviors, the stains that have been handed down that we never knew was not life-giving. We never thought about it before. The things that oppress, the things that result in self-centeredness, the things that result in the exclusion of others. And it's when we discover these stains and expose them that the work truly begins. And that's why Jesus talks about the fire, because it's painful. It's so much easier to say, no. It's so much easier to say, I'm going to ignore that. It's so much easier. But Jesus says, no, you don't get to do that as a Christ follower. It's when this becomes the norm and you start to do the work to discover, oh my gosh, those were stains and not the original pattern, that all of a sudden division may start to come about. That division is not going to remain forever, because God's kingdom does come. We get to participate in that. You see, the goal is God's kingdom, and that goal isn't division ultimately. Jesus says that because division will happen when we start to examine ourselves. That will happen. But the goal, God's full kingdom realized, is peace. But not our peace. It's the peace on God's terms, not ours. God's terms, not our terms. God's terms, we're all are included. God's terms where all will thrive. God's terms where all will be deemed worthy, all will be free, all will be seen, truly seen. God's terms where all will be valued, all will be respected. God's terms where all will be loved for exactly who they are. God's terms where all will flourish. In Jesus' death, the baptism that Jesus is now speaking of in this particular passage, we all stand at the foot of the cross together. And in Jesus' resurrection, we all are raised to new life. So on this day, you have an assignment, just like these little ones get assignments. And here's your assignment. Let us go forth, all of us, myself included. Let's examine, find, and truly see the germs, the contaminants that are sticking to us, those things that we have failed to see before. Let's wash them away through repentance and asking for Jesus' forgiveness. Let us be changed as Jesus requests that we are changed, that it is removed, so that God's kingdom may come for all today. Amen.